I'd like to thank you for taking some time to look into God's Word with us this day. We're in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 27. Today's message is a little different than some. I spent a week out at church in the parsonage being a project manager and working construction every day, and that's a little different when you get to be my age. And it took a lot of the time that I usually have to sit around and read and study commentaries. So this message is a little different. I wrote it for August 15th of 2021. I entitled it The Storm at Sea, and our text is Acts 27, verses 13 to 38. The storm at sea, point one, the soft, deceptive wind. Point two, the strong, destructive wind. And point three, who is in control? The soft, destructive wind, the soft, deceptive wind, and who ultimately is in control of all this? Not so long ago, when my wife Julie became critically ill and overnight, I was thrust into what my life seemed like a hurricane. I faced the probability of living the rest of my life alone. I was definitely not in control. But it was just as God encouraged Paul through an angel telling him to be saved in Acts 27:24. So Acts 27:22 reads like this: Now I beg you to be brave. And that is exactly what I needed to do. Be brave. I belong to God, and I serve Him, chapter 27:23 says. Starting from that leverage point that I am born again, I am a child of the kingdom, I belong to Him, and the best I can, I serve Him. Paul wrote, Last night an angel stood beside me. The angel said, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must go on trial in front of Caesar. God has shown his grace by sparing the lives of all those who are sailing with you. Men, Paul said, continue to be brave. That's critical for you and I. Continue to be brave. I have faith in God, Paul said. It will happen just as he told me. That's the end. So Paul's talking about his circumstances being in the hurricane of that storm in the Mediterranean Sea, but it fits really well with the lives that you and I are in. The same things are necessary. Be brave, understand who you serve and who you belong to, and continue in that belief, and have faith in our God that He will do what he says in his book, he will. God sent a group of believers to me to be my messengers at that time. And they were my angels to encourage and assure me. And it was amazing how much help I had when Julie was doing her last days here at home. As a hurricane continued, I was enriched to God's love. The storm obviously didn't stop. Circumstances continued to rage around me and inside of me, but God was and is consistent. That's something we can bank on. He wrapped his loving arms around me completely, and it was like an inner tube. I felt safe, like when I was young and first shown how to float in an inner tube down the Alcorn Creek. The Holy Spirit's consistent power and presence were dailyingly filling my inner tube as I floated through that hurricane. I experienced firsthand the peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7 says this, Don't worry about anything. Instead, tell God about everything and ask and pray about it. Give thanks to Him. Then God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds because you belong to Christ Jesus. God's peace can never be completely understood. That's the end. So in the hurricane of my life at that time, it was much like when I was a kid and we would take inner tubes down to the Elkhorn Creek and float down the creek. Some of it was still and some of it was fast. But after a while, you learn to trust that the inner tube will get you through all of that. And you can just kind of sit there and enjoy the flow. And that's almost what happened daily in my spirit as Julie was making her final preparations to go meet Jesus. Our text for today is rather long. It's in Acts 27 and it's 13 to 38. And what happened is we're going to family camp next week. So I took that message and today's message and lumped them together because it would be inappropriate for me to do a message at a family camp that is geared towards our church. It reads like this. A gentle south wind began to blow. They thought that this was what they'd been waiting for. So they pulled up the anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, the wind blew down from the island, and it was like the force of a hurricane. It was called a northeaster. The ship was caught by the storm. We could not keep it from sailing into the wind. So we gave up and were just driven along. We passed the calmer side of the small island of Cadia. We almost lost the lifeboat, so the men lifted it on board. Then we tied ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. They were afraid that if we struck on sandbar of Cyprus, they lowered the sea anchor to let the ship be driven along. We took a very bad beating from the storm. The next day, the crew began to throw the ship's contents overboard. On the third day, they even threw the ship's gear overboard with their own hands. The sun and the stars didn't appear for many days. The storm was terrible. So we gave up all hope of being saved. The men had not eaten in a long time. Paul stood up in front of them. "Men," he said, "you should have taken my advice and not sailed from Crete. Then you would have avoided this harm and this loss. Now I beg you to be brave. Not one of you will die. Only the ship will be destroyed. I belong to God and serve him. Last night an angel stood beside me. The angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must go on trial in front of Caesar. God has shown his grace by sparing the lives of all those who are sailing with you. Men, continue to be brave. I have faith in God. It will happen just as he told me. But we must run the ship into the beach of some island.' On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Sea of Adria. About midnight, the sailors had a feeling that we were approaching land. They measured how deep the water was. They found it was 120 feet deep. Short time later, they measured the water again. This time they found it to be 90 feet deep. They were afraid we would crash against the rocks. So they dropped four anchors from the back of the ship. They prayed that the daylight would come. The sailors wanted to escape from the ship, so they let the lifeboat down into the sea. They pretended they were going to lower some anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul spoke to the commander and the soldiers. 'These men must stay with the ship,' he said. 'If they don't, you can't be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat, and they let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul tried to get them to eat. 'For the last 14 days,' he said, 'you have wondered what would happen. You have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I am asking you to eat some food. You need it to live. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head.' After Paul said this, they took some bread and gave thanks to God. He did this where they could all see him. Then he broke it and began to eat. All of them were filled with hope. So they ate some food. There were 276 of us on board. They ate as much as they wanted. They needed to make the ship lighter, so they threw the rest of the grain into the sea. That's the end. Paul, hearing from God through an angel, was encouraged. We all, like Paul, in a storm someday, will need God's assurance. But we can also be the angel of encouragement to others who are in the midst of their storm. In whichever place you find ourselves, we can be content. God is in control. So, point number one on our outline, the soft, deceptive wind. This looked like their chance. A on your outline, a gentle south wind began to blow. In the Message translation of Acts 27:13, when a gentle southerly breeze came up, they weighed anchor, thinking they could have smooth sailing. B on your outline. They thought that this was what they'd been waiting for. They thought this was a good idea at first. I've done this before. You? Only to find out later that it would have been a better idea to ask God about it. Have you ever thought you had a good idea and didn't consult God on it and just went about it and later you discovered, oh, I would have been better to ask God? The children of Israel did that when they entered the Promised Land. They were deceived by some fellow countrymen. They didn't seek God. They gave these guys a safe passage, and they were a permanent problem in their lives from then on. See on our outline. They pulled up the anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. This is the start of a grand adventure, sailing in smooth water. Acts 27:13 says, a gentle south wind began to blow. They thought it's what they'd been waiting for, so they pulled up anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Point number two, the strong deceptive wind. It's a difficult time. The definition of difficult reads like this. It's pressure that is hard to endure. Pressure that is hard to endure. Have you ever experienced a situation like this where you had a difficult time in your life? Are you experiencing this at the present time? Is it a health problem, maybe? Possibly financial problems? Family problems, maybe? A loss of a loved one? What is it that is causing you a difficult time right now? Life can and is often difficult. The past year has been one of those most difficult times with the shutdown of the COVID-19 and the lockdown, and me spending a year in solitary confinement was not really good for my mental state. Being alone that long was not a good idea. There have been difficult things, and it appears there are still difficult things to come. And unfortunately, it looks like that's going to continue for a while. A on our outline, they faced utter darkness. Acts 27:20, the sun and stars didn't appear for many days. The storm was terrible, so they gave up hope of being saved. The sun and the stars didn't appear for many days. For many people in our time, this is how life looks. When they wake up, when they walk out in this dark world they live in from the time they get up till bedtime. Many people live in a depressed state. It's a staggering number of people that in the United States of America are on antidepressants. Just staggering. Jesus is the light they need. Jesus is the light we need. When Jesus came to Hank Williams, his life was changed. And he wrote a great song to explain this. It was, I saw the light. became a very popular song, and it ended up in Johnny Cash's repertoire. I heard him sing it several times. Many other people did too see the light after Hank found his way out of the drunken, drug-induced stupor he had lived in. How do we share this light? Do we do it like the moon? You see, we are just to reflect the sun's light. So when we try to share the light that we've experienced in the Lord Jesus, what we are designed to do as an illustration is be just like the moon. It's just a dead, dirty hunk of rock up there. But when it reflects the light of the sun, it looks magnificent in a clear summer sky. That's what we're supposed to do. Not generate anything from within, but only relate and reflect what Christ has done and is doing in our life. Be on the outline. They faced great danger. Would you like to be in a wooden boat today in the Florida Keys with the hurricane that's blowing through there? I don't think so. Have you ever been in a boat that's so far out that you can't see land? One time I was on a shipwreck dive in Lake Michigan, and when we came up out of that cold to the bone water, then the weather got really dicey on our way back. It was a heck of a ride, and I kept hearing the Edmund Fitzgerald song in my mind as we tried to make it back to shore. They had been desperate and deprived of food. See on your outline. They had been deprived of food. Acts 27:33 says, just before dawn, Paul tried to get them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've wondered what would happen. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I'm asking you to eat some food. You need to live. Not one of you will lose a single hair on your head. After Paul said this, he took some bread, gave thanks to God. He did this where they all could see him. Then he broke it and gave it to them to eat. All of them were filled with hope. So they ate some food. There were 267 people on board. They ate as much as they wanted. They needed to make the ship lighter, so they threw the rest into the sea. That's a good-sized wooden boat. 276 people. That's a good-sized wooden boat. Have you ever been in distress in your life to where you didn't eat or sleep for 14 days because you were so concerned and worried about wondering what's going to happen? These people were in a real mess. D on your outline, the ship was destroyed. This is our story for August 29. E on your outline, they disembarked and made it to safety. That's the rest of the story. We'll do August 29th. So point three on our outline, who is in control? So we started with a soft, deceptive wind. We looked at the strong, destructive wind. Now let's get to the bottom line. Who is in control? You see, storms come. Winds toss us about, and we lose control. Acts 27:20 says, the sun and the stars didn't appear for many days. The storm was terrible. We gave up all hope of being saved. Like Paul, we find ourselves in hurricanes and tornadoes of life's circumstances. The worst of it seems to be that we can do nothing about it. We're no longer in charge. I saw St. Jude's fundraising thing the other day, where this young girl gave a testimony, the worst thing about cancer is knowing you have it. That's really true. Knowing you have cancer and not knowing how the treatment is going or how you're going to deal with it, just knowing it's there is normally much more painful than having that in your body. That it's the mental part of knowing it's there and worrying about what's going to happen. That's the hard part. Someone or something has your life in turmoil. Whether it's relationships, maybe it's illnesses, Maybe it's finances or loss of a loved one. Maybe it's persecution. Whatever modern day form it takes, the hurricane is almost certain to come and threaten to do us in. So the question and the doubts will start like this. Does God really have a plan for my life? Why would he allow such disaster into a Christian's life? Why do bad things happen to good people? And so on and so on and so on. Those are the deep questions that come to you and I in the midst of these hurricanes. My encouragement is to stop. Stop asking those questions. Stop worrying about the situation and rely on the fact that God is in control. So let's look at that. A on your outline. Who made you? Isaiah 29:16 says, they turn everything upside down. How silly they are to think that the potters are like the clay they work with. Can what is made say the one who has made it, you didn't make me right? Can the pot say to the potter, you don't know anything? The end. People tend to do that with God. He made us just the way he wanted us to be. He placed us in this time for a specific purpose. Our job is to be brave, have faith, and follow him, not our circumstances. B on our outline, who spoke the world into being? The creation of the world is covered in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When I was teaching young people how to memorize the books of the Bible, I would show them a picture of a baseball player standing at the bat, and we would say, in the big inning, much like the Field of Dreams baseball game this week. But that helped them understand how to remember that book. In the beginning, God was at the plate. See on our outline, who heals? In Luke 18:38, so a blind man called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When the man came near, Jesus spoke to him. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, I want to be able to see, the blind man replied. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Right away he could see. And he followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God also. That's the end. Jesus, God, is the one who heals. D on your outline. Who died on the cross, was buried, and walked in resurrection glory on this earth again? Luke 24 says this, when they entered the tomb, the ladies did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. This is Easter morning. When they wondered about this, suddenly two men in clothes that were bright as lightning stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you that he would rise. It was while he was still with you in Galilee. He said, the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful people. He must be nailed to a cross, and on the third day he will rise from the dead. That's the end of that text and the beginning of the wonderful life we have. E on our outline. Who changed your heart's desire from worldly endeavors to spirit-led living when he saved you? God. God the Father did that through the work of his Son and through the embracing of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, Christ died for everyone. He died so that those who live should live for them, should not live for themselves anymore. They should live for Christ. He died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. At one time, we looked at Christ that way. So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. Anyone who believed in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The end. F on your outline. Has he changed? Has God changed? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not, will not change. The things that he did, the things that he said we will do, the things that he said about the Holy Spirit will happen just the way he said. Our next Bible study will be on Revelations, and he shares with John many things that are still about to happen. They will come about just the way John wrote them. G on our outline. Has he walked out of heaven and gone on vacation, leaving you to fend for yourself? Kind of comically. Hebrews 13:5. Don't be controlled by love of money. Be happy with what you have. God has said, I will never leave you. I will never desert you. That's from Deuteronomy 31:6. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never desert you. H on our outline, has his power diminished with time? Ephesians 1:18. I also pray that your mind might see more clearly, then you will know the hope God has chosen you to receive. You will know that the things God's people receive are rich and they are glorious. And you will know his great power. It can't be compared with anything else. It's at work for us who believe. It's like the mighty strength, as I also pray, that in your mind you might see it more clearly. God showed them he raised Christ from the dead. He seated him on the right hand of the Heavenly Father in his kingdom. Then Christ sits far above all who rule and have authority. He also sits far above all powers and kings. He is above every title that can be given in the world and the world to come. God placed all things under Christ's rule. He appointed him to be ruler over everything for the church. The church is Christ's body. It is filled by Christ. He fills everything in every way. That's the end. I on your outline. Is his word less true today than in former times? 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord stands forever, Isaiah 46:8. And then that word I have preached to you. So, no, God has not changed. He's not went on vacation. The things that he said will come true. The things that we can count on in the midst of the storm are rock solid. We just need to be brave, have faith, rely on our identity that we're born again in him, and function from the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to read those scriptures again, and maybe they will convince you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have put these scriptures in front of us. Thank you so much for the storm that Paul and those men went through, to illustrate to us how you are in control of life. In life in that one boat with 276 people, in the life that we live in the midst of COVID-19, and the life that will come in Revelation soon when Christ and the turmoil begin. Father, we just humbly bow before you and thank you for your word. Thank you for its absolute truth. We pray that your Holy Spirit will enlighten us as we study it, richen our faith in you, and deepen our trust and belief in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the far side of the chasm, You held me in your sight, so you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. Applied. Glory.